This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
Through the COVID pandemic, War Eagle Productions, with assistance from Cody Voca, has released a series of video interviews with former Auburn men's basketball players. The series is called Home Court. You can find these videos at the Watch Now tab of auburntigers.com. We have been asked to release these in a podcast form, and this is the second of that series. Former Tiger and current assistant coach Wes Flanagan co-hosts these interviews with me. Bryce Brown and Jared Harper were in the midst of their first seasons of professional ball when COVID shut everything down. Both were key parts of the SEC championship team in 2018, plus the SEC tournament champions and the Final Four team in 2019. Bryce left Auburn as the school's most prolific three-point shooter, and Jared is arguably the school's greatest point guard. Bryce Brown and Jared Harper are featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles.
With Coach Wes Flanagan, I'm Andy Burcham. Glad to have you with us today. We're thrilled to be joined by one of those that was part of Auburn's Final Four team, now playing professionally. Bryce Brown now joins us. Bryce, kind of give us an update. Where are you now? And give us an update on that first year of professional basketball for you.
Yes, sir. So right now I'm in Atlanta. I'm just trying to get in the gym as much as I can. For the majority private workouts. I just finished up my first season with the Red Claws, which is the Celtics G League team. And we had a real successful season as a team. We finished with third before the year was ended due to Corona, but we finished third in the league. I had a pretty good year as well. I know I received a lot of new attention from a lot of new teams. I'm expecting something when all this is over with. I feel like I've worked pretty good this season, worked hard, stayed in the gym. My coaches come in me all the time. So, at this point, I'm just trying to get better and just trying to stay ready for the opportunity that may come, that's where I am right now.
Well, Bryce, man, tell me this. And I was a guy kind of like you, man, when I got out, played in the CBA and, did some of those things. Talk to me a little bit, man, about the difference, maybe in the G League and that level. And then obviously, being here at Auburn and, what you see or what do you miss, about being here at Auburn compared to, playing in the G League?
I would say, the Auburn, I really miss how it was more – team focus. I would say when you get to the G League, it feels like you're just a lot on your own. If you have a bad game, you just kind of to yourself. You don't really have the same support system. You always go to your parents. But I would say just at Auburn, it was a more family oriented. You had just so much support in it, so many more fans, so much. It was just a lot more behind it. But I would say. The season with the Red Claws was like more about focusing on you getting better as an individual versus at school, you were really focused on winning the national championship. G League specifically is really focused on getting you better and focusing on like, if we lost a couple games because this person did this, it's kind of like not as harsh on the team, I would say. So, I would say that's what the G League is more about, more different than, it's more open, a little more freedom. But, it was a good experience both ways, though, I would say.
Give us an example, Bryce, of something that you learned, work ethic, whatever, something that you learned at Auburn that you're now applying to that next step in your career.
I would say the mentality that our coaches – built in us at Auburn, that the dog mentality we always talk about, being defensive minded, that helped me a lot my first year. Just fighting through adversity, because we were a school that had to fight through adversity our first 2 years when I was there. And I would say, that you have to do that a lot in the G League. It's going to be times where, it's going to be long plane rides, which you didn't have at Auburn. It would be from one destination to the next, but you have connecting flights, you have to fly, you know, catch all these flights, and it's, you know, it's different.
Bryce, speaking of adversity, right?
Yeah.
So I heard stories, right, when I got here about, you know, the first couple of years with Bryce Brown, right? Which I cannot, like, fathom, right? I was with you for a year, man. I can't imagine, you know, you being any different than what you were when I was around, right? Mm-hmm. And the joy that I saw, like, at the end of games, like, I vividly remember at the end of games during our run, man, like, you and Coach, man, like, being the first to embrace each other, like, many of those games, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, talk to us a little bit, man, about how Coach Pearl helped you get to that point in your life and your career.
I just think that just comes with trial and error, with how, with Coach having to figure me out, with me having to figure Coach out. He's put me through certain situations, and eventually he's had to trust me. And I just appreciate him for having the trust in me. And I've had to build that since day one. That wasn't something he just gave me. Right. You know, he tells you, I'm pretty sure he tells everybody that. That's not something that I just came in there and was given from day one. I know I had to build that all 4 years. And, you know, that's something that was really built between me and Coach Pearl, I feel like. And I really just appreciate him for giving me the opportunity, you know, to come in there and help be a part of something special. So,
Bryce, as you mentioned, though, those first 2 years were tough. You guys were building the program, and those fans were building with you. What did it mean those last 2 years? And I don't know if you watched Auburn much this year to see the jungle at those games, and how much did that mean for that student section to grow and be such an important part of Auburn basketball?
It meant a lot to me just because my first year, you know, they were trying to bring the jungle about, you know, it was something that they were trying to hype up, I would say. And then when it got to be about my junior year, you know, we played, I remember specifically, no, actually it was my sophomore year. We played Kentucky, and I forgot which player it was. And it's like, man, yeah, y'all have it rocking in here. And I was just like, yeah, man, it wasn't always like that. So it was, it just came so far. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, we did a good job of building that as a team, as an Auburn family.
I think for me as a former player, man, like, again, I look back, Bryce, on, you know, that year, those 2 years, the 3 years that we competed for, you know, a championship, an SEC championship, the last three, you know, to see that fan base, is something that's special. I think, I think being here at Auburn is a special place, but it wouldn't be special, you know, without special people. And I've been around Wesley Person, Lance Wing, some of these guys that are, you know, great shooters in their own book, right? But you, man, on the other hand, man, I think you're the greatest. For me, being a former player, being able to come back and you guys, you know, welcome me into that locker room, man, and be coachable. For you guys to put in the hard work that you did to get to the program where it is right now, man, I really appreciate you, man, for what you've done, what you stood for, your parents. And it's a brotherhood, man, that's starting right now, right? I talked to Aaron Swinson a couple of days on the phone last week. Obviously, I've seen a lot of guys through some of the things that I'm doing back here with the program, man. But anytime you need anything, man, you feel free to call us. You know, we'll do what we can for you, bro. But I really appreciate you, man, bringing some pride back to this program, your hard work and your determination.
Coach, I appreciate you to the fullest, and I respect you to the most. I always tell my parents how I respect Coach. Anytime you call me, I'm on it. You know what I mean? I might miss you, but Coach, whenever you call me, I try to always make sure I'm on that call because I really respect you. You always, you know, your constructive criticism and all that. You know, I really appreciate it. It really made me better as a person on the court. So, you know, I appreciate you. It's a mutual feeling.
Bryce, as you look back on your Auburn career, give us an aspect where you feel you improved the most in those 4 years as an Auburn Tiger.
I say this all the time. It's just controlling what what I could control. I remember my first couple years, really my freshman year specifically, when it took the most maturing and the most growing up, was just, it was just some things I went, why this? I feel like I should be there, I should be that. But, you know, I just control what I control, work through it, work through the adversity. And that's why I always say you have to push through adversity, you have to overcome adversity, because you're not the only one that goes through that. It's so many other people that goes through those things, and you can't complain about it. You have to push through that. And that right there took me a long time to realize, and that's what I'm glad I know now. There's things that you're just gonna have to overcome. So I've just taken that with me and just use that to the max.
Well, man, we watched you break a G League record this year, right? How many yes. threes were there in one game?
And 11, man.
11?
Yeah, that was hard.
Will we see you break a single game record in the NBA one day?
Yes, sir. That's a fact. That's a fact, man. Hey, coach, tell him to give me my opportunity, man. That's all I need.
Well, I think if you get the opportunity, man, I think you definitely will, bro. You're one of the best shooters, man, I've seen or ever been around. It's not
appreciate
even
cool.
Take us behind the scene of a night where you hit 11 threes. I mean, you've got to take the shots, but if you're not making the shots, you're not getting those shots that point.
Facts. I mean, to tell you the truth, I was about 8 for 8, and then in the huddle they told me I didn't miss. I didn't know after about eight for eight. I didn't know that I didn't miss. So I'm 8 for 8, and they got me thinking at this point. I'm like, yo, y'all got. Me and my own head. So I'm like, dang, I don't want to miss. But at the same time, it's a very close game. So I have to, you know, at the same time, have to take good shots, but I have to still continue to shoot because I'm the hot hand. So it was just me thinking about every shot after that. And I'm just, you know, it was tough. I look back on it. I always look at that game. I'm like, how in the world did I do that? But, you know, I've had games where I've hit 7 for 11. 6 for 8, 6 for 9, but nothing like 11 for 11. That was a crazy game, yeah.
Bryce, you look back on that run through the Final Four, and let's start with the Kentucky game there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Auburn goes in with great expectations, and it's a blowout. And then you guys don't lose again until you get to the Final Four. That includes an SEC tournament championship for the first time since the 80s and a run to the school's first ever Final Four. So what was that run like for you guys? And Coach Flan, you joined in this as well. I mean, listen, you look back on that. Now that's a magical time, not only in Auburn basketball, but just Auburn history.
Going through it was the hardest thing. I mean, we knew what we were doing, but going through it was like, the biggest thing of like just trying to, we couldn't really take grasp what we was doing. So we were just, you know, we were trying to make the most fun out of it. We wasn't really trying to put too much thought into it. You know, people would always be calling, you know, certain players' phones like, hey man, it's a big game. But you know, me, I wasn't really into really answering those calls. I would be so focused on the game. I really wasn't trying to hear too much feedback. I was going to lock in and listen what the coaches were talking about. But I mean, every game was just, you know, I feel like we had the when you have seniors like that we had, who had the determination, that's going to outbeat your, what is it, your 5 stars you have, your 4 stars. I feel like that's just going to outbeat them because we were so experienced. I just feel like we had that, like they said, that mentality. So
yeah, I echo some of Bryce's sentiments. I think that, you know, during the moment, Andy, we were just determined, man, to get to the next game and get prepared for the next game. Mm-hmm. And things were turning around so fast. And I tell people this all the time. The first time that I really realized that we were actually in the Final Four was when we actually walked up on the stage like 3 minutes before the jump.
Exactly.
That's when I really realized we was at the Final Four. You walk up the stairs to the stage and there's, you know, 90,000, you know, looking at you. And I'm like, Cole, man, I'm at the Final Four right now.
What about the time where they turned the lights off and they're doing the starting lineups and all that? how you just look out into the crowd and just see all the light. This is crazy.
It was a dream come true, man, for me. I grew up on the floor, you know, watching Michael Jordan in Georgetown and watching that final shot, watching it with my dad. And from that point on, I always watched every game of the Final Four. And at this particular point, you know, guys like Bryce Brown and Jerry Harper, Malik Dunbar, Horace Spencer, and, you know, just that whole crew and Coach Pearl and his staff, man, these guys had actually gotten me to the Final Four.
As a shooter, Bryce, what was the biggest development in those 4 years at Auburn? I mean, listen, by the time you leave, as Coach Flan mentioned, you're the greatest shooter in the history of the program, especially long range shooter. So what went into that? I mean, that's a lot of hard work. That's a lot of shots I've got to think when you're working with the coaches, or maybe just some shots where you're getting shots up on your own.
I tell you this, his dad rebounded a lot of those balls for him.
Man, that man rebound, if he was on one leg, it'd be hobbling around. I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's really started at a young age for me. I've really been working on my shots since I was about middle school, and I just felt like I've just developed a habit of, you know, just really staying in the gym, you know, just when I was just younger. My dad would just always, like, people would go home after school, probably be on the game, or, you know, I would go home. I wouldn't go home. I'd go straight from school to straight to the gym every day, like middle school every day, like high school every day. That's when my dad was taking me. So, I mean, it was just so much time I spent. People would think, like, you just develop a jump shot over a year or something. It really took me my whole entire life to really learn how to shoot how I shot today, you know. Not really saying that you can't learn how to shoot in a year or two. But, I mean, that's what it took me. You know, my dad's always kept me in the gym since day one, like when I was, like, in middle school, high school. And we've just been at it since then, you know, just working on small mechanics, how to shoot the ball. You know, we just looked at the greatest shooters. He would look at the greatest shooters and just, he showed me how to shoot.
Is there a player that you pattern your shot after?
I don't have a player specifically. When I look at how to shoot, though, you know, people say don't model your shot to Stephen Curry, right? But I feel like when he shoots the ball, he has the best chances of making it because he shoots with the right arc on the ball. And so I feel like that's when I shoot, that's what I aim for. I aim for a specific arc on the ball, on how I want it to land in the rim. So, it's not like I'm a 100% shooter, but, I mean, that's just what I look at. I want a certain height on the ball when I shoot. That's just my guide, my goal when I shoot. So, and I know Stephen Curry, he really gets a lot of arc on his shot. That's kind of, I wouldn't say I modeled my shot after him, but when I look at how a person shoots, I feel like that's he has a pretty nice shot.
Let me ask you just about how you look now at Auburn, now that college career is over. You are coming here to play basketball and to go to school, hopefully get that degree. You play on an SEC regular season champion. You play on an SEC tournament champion and a Final Four team. And now you're into your pro career. As you look back now on the Auburn family, what did those folks, those fans, those instructors, the coaches, obviously at Auburn, what have they meant to you? Not only your career, but just your life at this point, Bryce.
I mean, they mean everything to me. Just how much because it took them to realize, for me to realize how to fight through adversity. Them being the example, so they were just, examples for people for me to look up to. You know, playing for Coach Pearl was like another dream come true. That's something people, everybody would want to do as a kid. You know, I will always grow up watching him coach Tennessee. So, I mean, that's, you know, just being around them, being around Coach Pearl, he's an icon. Being around Coach Flanagan, who was, you know, he has his respect because what he did, what he's done here with being an assist leader. So, I mean, just picking up their habits, learning from them every day, you know, just all the constructive criticism they gave me. You know, Coach Pearl, not only just coaches, but my teammates. I had incredible teammates my 4 years here. That's like Coach was saying, our seniors, Malik, Horace. You know, we had a lot of people that were supporting me. The fans supporting me, my teammates supporting me, the coaches supporting me. I had a huge support system. And I just appreciate everybody, you know, everybody in the program.
Bryce, we certainly wish you nothing but the best as you move forward in this second year coming up of your pro career. For me, it was a thrill to watch you develop and to develop into the player and the young man that you've become. To watch that Final Four run, I mean, listen, none of us will ever forget. Auburn will never forget what that team was like and what that represented. So I just want to thank you for being with us. I hope you're safe and well. And we certainly appreciate it and wish you nothing but the best moving forward, bud. War Eagle.
Thank you, War Eagle. Yes, sir.
Love and respect, BB. Remember what I used to always tell you, man. Be who you are.
Yes, sir.
You special, man. Don't never let that leave your mind, man. Be who you are, my man.
Yeah. I got you. Appreciate you, Coach.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama.
With Auburn coach Wes Flanagan, I'm Andy Burcham. Great to have with us today, former Auburn point guard, now as a pro player. Jared Harper joins us. Jared, thank you for being with us today. What was this first year of pro ball like for you? I mean, I know Auburn fans followed your work in the G League and even when you were up with the Suns as well. So was it what you expected your first year out of college and the pro circuit?
Yeah, it was definitely great just using it every day as a learning experience, trying to continue to get better. I saw it as an opportunity just to continue to become the best basketball player I can be. I feel like over the course of the season, my game grew a lot. I got a lot better, and just being able to work on my game every day, continue to get better, and just do everything that I've been dreaming about, being in the NBA and being able to do that. So it was great.
Jared, I got a question for you, man. And if you were sitting there and you were, let's say you were on this call right now and you were talking to future prospects, you know, on our behalf, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, you know, when you look at Coach Pearl and his system and the way we prepared Coach D, you know, just our whole staff, man, what would you say about our preparation in terms of getting you ready, man, for the next level?
I would say just Auburn, just as a whole, is just a big opportunity to get better. If you're looking at Auburn as a opportunity to have fun with a whole bunch to do and everything, I don't want to say it's a place for that, but I would say Auburn's definitely a place to have fun, but it's also a place where I was really able to focus and continue to get better working on my game and just continue to have my body in better shape and just focusing on goals of where I wanted to be. Like I always said, probably the biggest thing that helped my career would be me working with Coach D, getting my body right. I came into Auburn at 150, 155, and being able to get up to 175, almost 180 by the time I left, and just being able to compete with the physicality of the SEC night in and night out was my biggest thing. And also just having a coaching staff in Bruce Pearl just believing in me. I feel like that was a great thing for me. I've always had coaches probably that believed in me, but BP, he didn't say too much about shots I took from however far I took the shots. But as long as I gave consistent effort and played well and did things on the defense, and he let me play my game, I think that's probably the best thing that he does.
Yeah, I thought coming into the situation as an assistant coach in my first year, I think that's one of coaches' strengths, man, is giving guys confidence, man, to be who they are. And obviously, he let you, you know, rock out and be who you were. I've been on a lot of great rides, man, during the course of my career as a player and as a coach. But the ride we went on, man, was one of the most unbelievable feelings, man, as a former player and an alumni that I've ever been on. And I'm not just talking about simply winning games. I'm talking about the time that we spent, you know, in those rooms, man, preparing for games around you guys. You kind of set the tone, man, with your leadership and the way you attacked, you know, preparation and all those things. You were kind of the coach for us on the court. So my next question would be for you, man. How did it feel for you? I know how it felt for me, but how did it feel for you when you walked up onto that raised stage? And I know you a basketball guru, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How did you feel, man, getting ready to play that Final Four game against Virginia?
I think it was for sure just a great feeling, just knowing how far Auburn has come as a basketball program versus where I saw it before in my high school, and I chose Auburn. And I chose Auburn early. I committed early my junior year, and people are like, "Auburn, really? Like, you could have waited up couple more months in going to this school that has a rich basketball history, blah, blah, blah." But that kind of wasn't my thing. Just being able to be a part of making history was one thing that I've always wanted to be a part of. That's what I've pretty much done my whole life, been a part of just making that history. So being able to go to Auburn was a great opportunity for me. And then with BP surrounding me with the staff and the teammates that I had around me, it made it that much easier, or even that much better, just knowing Wes, you know, just knowing having all the players, everybody was in the gym. It wasn't, you didn't really have to force anybody to be in there to want to get better, to be ready for that moment. Everybody wanted it for themselves. So being able to have everybody as one, everybody together, just made it that much more special.
Now that you're on the opposite side of it now that your college career is over, how satisfying is it to be a part of that history that you talked about wanting to make all the way back to your junior year of high school? And you were part of turning a program around and an SEC regular season championship and an SEC tournament championship and the first ever Final Four in school history. So how satisfying was that for you to be a part of that history that you were looking to make?
It was just great just being able to set the foundation for how I want Auburn basketball to be seen. I want Auburn basketball eventually to be seen with the likes of Kentucky's, your Kansas, your North Carolina's, your Duke's. I feel like as time goes on, I want Auburn to be one of those names. It was great, like you said, just being a part of it, being able to be a part of that, not necessarily started, but it happened before. We had some successful teams, but I think coming into my sophomore year, I don't know, it was I think it was 15 years since Auburn won a SEC championship. And that was the longest of any SEC team. So being able to be a part of that and then be able to take that next step forward, doing well in the tournament and being the first Auburn team to compete in a Final Four just made it that more special. So hoping to see Auburn win a national championship one day. So just keep making strides of going forward and doing better.
So Jerry, you know, we preach and we talk about family a lot, you know, here at Auburn. And it's not just in men's basketball, man. It's in athletics, you know, as a whole. It's amongst our campus. It's amongst our community. You know, what did it mean? And obviously, I'm a father now that has my own son in our program. You know, what did it mean to you, man, to be able to see your dad as engaged and involved in our program as he was, and Coach Pearl allowing him to be there as much as he was, where other coaches in our profession pretty much, man, they get the kids and the prospects and they tell the parents to back off. I thought that was unique, you know, with Coach Pearl allowing guys who have had a support system up until the time they got to Auburn still be around. What did that mean to you? How did that feel?
That was probably the biggest things for me. I have a very family-oriented family. I have a very close family just outside of even basketball. So part of my reasoning to coming to Auburn would be that my parents would be able to come to as many games as they did. They probably came to 70-80% of my college games. So having them around and even having my dad be involved in helping made it that much more special.
Jared, was there a point in your career at Auburn where it seemed to click for you? Because you mentioned coming in, you weren't a big guy. You had committed early to Auburn, you know, part of making history. Was there a time, though, that you can remember where it started to click physically, the players, you could tell it was starting to click for this program to make that next big step?
If I had to point at one thing, it would probably be our trip to Italy. My freshman year was good. It was a huge, huge learning experience for me. Just knowing I came in starting as a freshman. So starting as a freshman, of course, you have your ups and downs. But throughout my freshman year, I just learned not to let those bad games turn into two or three bad games. Just kind of let the game happen for itself. If I have one bad game, we have another game coming up in a couple of days. So being able to move forward. But that trip to Italy, I think, was special for us because it kind of really brought that family thing all together for us. Our team was extremely close starting going into Italy. And we had a lot of great players. I think at that time we were playing 10, 11 people, and everybody you could say deserved to start or was good enough to start there or any other team in the country. So I just feel like that the opportunity to go out to Italy, play with each other, have fun, a lot of our first times out the country, that was a great opportunity for us that I feel like started it all.
I've got a story about Jared. Last year was hosting a football Friday lunch, and this is before a big Auburn football game. And Jared was one of the guests that day. This is right in the middle of football season. But when I was able to introduce Jared to that crowd, and it was a packed house there at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and this is one of the first times I remember this, there was a standing ovation for a basketball player before a football game at Auburn. You could sense how much that team from a year ago and what you meant to Auburn. Do you have an idea of kind of, because Coach Flann talked about this earlier, he talked about the Auburn family. Are you kind of getting that idea of what that Auburn family is all about now that your career at Auburn is over, Jared?
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like over the course of this whole rookie year, this whole first year, the support I feel like I've gotten from the Auburn family has been great. Everything that I do successful, I see people from Auburn that are super supportive and super excited for things that I have done and things that I'm going to continue to do. So it's definitely just a great experience.
Jared, when I say Auburn man, what does that mean to you?
I'll just say family. That's probably the biggest word that I'll say, just family. It's just whether I'm doing well or not doing well, I feel like I'll always be able to count on Auburn family.
I want to make a comment, man, as we finish up, and I'll let Andy finish this deal up, man. I got a lot of respect for you. You know, being a point guard and, you know, watching you for a year. You know, I will concede today, and we had this argument all the time, but I want to concede today. There's been a lot of great point guards here at Auburn, man. Gerald White and Frank and Doc Robinson, and obviously myself will be in that equation somewhere. But today, man, I will concede that you are the best point guard to ever play here at Auburn. I'm very, very proud, man, that you represented us to this point and continue to represent us. Man, keep your dream alive. I know people are knocking you, man, for your size that they've done your whole life. But at some point, brother, you keep putting that time in. We will see you on that television, man, in the NBA uniform, crushing somebody as you have your whole life, my brother.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
You are a fearless warrior. And that was always one of the things that struck me about you. You never backed down ever at your time at Auburn. And I know that will continue with your pro career. So thank you for being with us. We wish you all the best.
Shortly after our interview with Jared Harper, it was announced that he had been picked up by the New York Knicks. He'll compete for a spot on their roster when training camp begins for the 2021 season. For Bryce Brown, Jared Harper, assistant coach Wes Flanagan, and the Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. Whoa, Rico.